Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, good morning. Once again, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as Chicago radio legend Chuck Schaden has released yet another book. This, his personal memoir and broadcast diary. It's called Chuck Schaden's Radio Days, Adding Decades to the Golden Age of Radio. He's been a longtime friend since we first met on the board of the Museum of Broadcast Communications nearly 20 years ago. And he's joining us this morning, my friend Chuck Schaden. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. It's so nice of you to get me out of bed to come up here to talk with you.
It's always my pleasure. Did you get the Danishes that I sent? They're on your front porch.
I didn't get it yet, but
the frozen salad.
It should be Googled to me by Amazon or something.
Something like that. You know, I love this book. You've always been such an example to me of if you do something you love, it's never work. It might be a little work, but having a lifelong passion for something can be the key to a happy life. Isn't that true?
It sure is. I've been very enthusiastic about radio since I was a little kid, and I'm not a little kid anymore, but I'm still as enthusiastic about radio, and I'm still going strong with all this stuff.
You are. The book really tells a story. First of all, I love the cover from our done by our mutual friend Jim Engel. Great cover of this book. Tells the story of a man who grew up listening to radio's golden age and celebrating it by honoring that era, and has met the greats in front of the mic and behind it. And that's what I think makes first of all your journey so great, but the book so great.
Thank you so much.
When people talk about the golden age of radio, people will refer to it more as the 30s and 40s, but those type of programs stretched all the way to 1962, 63, and in 1970, and you think about this, nearly 50 years ago, you said this deserves another play and an introduction to a new generation.
Yeah, and when I first went on the air with the show, Dave, I thought only people who remembered the programs from the so-called golden age would be interested, but I was very happily surprised to learn that there was a generation out there who hadn't had the chance to hear those programs, and we were able to expose that generation through osmosis from their previous generation, I guess.
Yeah.
To what these programs were, and wonderful news, they liked them.
Yeah.
And it proved to me that the programs were as good as I always thought they were, because if they weren't as good as I thought they were, nobody would still be listening to the old vintage radio shows. But they hold up so well. And as long as you can present them in a nice environment and a respectful environment and try to let people know what that whole era was all about, mm-hmm. Well, that's what gave me the incentive to keep going with all of this, and I'm still doing it.
But you had to put, you had to push a little hard at first to say, okay, look, I know this era technically ended a decade ago, but really, people still want it. There's still an audience for this, or I'd like to introduce it to a different audience. And you had to push your way through a little bit to get the show on the air, keep it on the air, and keep it going. And you did it for, we're talking 5 decades.
Yes, and you're making me worn out now when you talk about 5 decades.
You were 10 years old when you started this, I know.
Yeah, I wish, but it was... No, but I'm happy. It's been invigorating for me. It's kept me youthful, I hope, and it's kept a generation of radio alive for so many other generations, and I'm so happy to have had a little part in all of that stuff.
I remember hearing these shows on radio in the maybe late 70s when I was probably about mm-hmm. 10 years old. It was WNIB, I believe, and mm-hmm. between you listening with my grandfather and a company called Radiola Records. I don't know if you remember Radiola.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, and I, at 10 years old, I'm sure my friends were like, I was still buying my Journey albums and my AC/DC and everything else, listening
sure.
to Larry Lujack, but I had a love for this, and I would write away for some of these records, and I was just kind of wowed at that age that this era even existed. Like, wow, there was something before television, right?
Well, at that period of time, the early 70s when we began this, there was really nothing on radio, with a few minor exceptions, that gave you the use of your imagination to see the pictures. Yeah. Because all you saw, I mean, if you had ever seen a rock group perform, you had that in your image there to see them. But you could not understand that there would be a drama, you know, a mystery, or even comedy shows coming out of the radio. I mean, some stations had disc jockeys who occasionally played some of those comedy records, like from Bob Newhart and right. Shelley Berman and things of that nature.
Sure.
And that actually filled the gap between the end of the radio days and the beginning of the nostalgia radio days. I used to paint the living room walls and do things like that at home without and listening to those things because I didn't have the radio. They had gone away
in the 60s
and 70s. But I guess I perceived a need on my part to be a guy who wanted to be on the radio, so this was a way to be on the radio. But I also thought that this was a way to extend those radio days. No, but I never thought I'd extend the radio days or help extend the radio days for a half century.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Longer than it really was. I know, longer than it was actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching MASH. You know, the three-year war was 11 years.
Yeah, but we've been able to do things that with the radio shows to expose them. And this was part of my plot, I guess, if I had any kind of a plan for all of this. I wanted to let the audiences know what there was on radio during those golden years, and sometimes before and even after the golden years. So if I could expose people to everything on radio that I could find, it was a worthwhile cause. Now, everything that was ever on radio was not the greatest thing in the world.
Sure, right.
But sometimes there were programs that needed to be brought forward at least once in a while so that people who never had the chance to hear them or make up their mind about them could listen to it and say, wow, this was great, or I can see why this hasn't lasted. You know, this program hasn't lasted like Jack Benny has lasted. How come? Well, Milton Berle's radio show, for example. Milton is a radio guy, is a television guy. He's a visual comic. So his comedy wasn't quite as bright when it was on radio, and he did a lot of radio. But you have the opportunity to let people know what that's all about, make some comments about it, and say, like it or not, here it is. And that's what we did. And we really brought a World War II generation on radio to our listening audience on the 50th anniversary of World War II.
Right, yeah. No, you know, some of these other shows you were talking about that you used to play, because it provided context, it really did, to what you were listening to. Because you played a little news. You did theme shows, so you understand really what the listener's mind was at the time and where they were. I was... I've shared the story before, but my youngest son, we stumbled across the Waltons one day last winter, and we were watching it, and he said to me, why are they all staring at the radio? Why aren't they just listening?
Oh, yeah,
why aren't
right.
they doing other things? Why is everyone gathered around the radio? And I kind of explained it to him, and he was my only kid that really wasn't listening to any of these shows, and I had him listen to some of these suspenses over Halloween just a short time ago. And he got it. And, you know, I said, but what you're thinking of what that person looks like or what that house looks like in the house in Cypress Canyon is going to be very different from what your brother sees, what your sister sees, and what anybody else listening to it sees. It's all in your imagination.
That's correct, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole secret.
It is, absolutely. Right. But now this is all happening when you were just starting your family, you were in the banking business. But then how did you even think about, okay, how do I even get a hold of these shows to start playing them? Like, where was your resource?
Well, I discovered you talked about record albums before. There was a record album that came out with the opening themes, the opening announcements of 50 or 100 radio shows. And I bought that album and listened to these tracks of all, and I thought, my gosh, this was like dying and going to radio heaven when I heard that stuff. And I thought, you know, if they've got the opening of the Lux Radio Theater, they may have the whole show of the Lux Radio Theater. So I did some searching, and I got a hold of somebody who was producing that album out in New York area. And I said, do you have complete shows around like that? And the woman who answered the phone said, yes, would you like us to send you a catalog? I went, what?
Oh, yeah, right?
Would I? You know?
I love it.
And they sent a catalog, and they were selling shows on reel-to-reel tape for $10 an hour, which was, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's not cheap back then.
And if you could get a one-hour show, that would be two half-hour sides of an hour reel of tape recorded at 7.5 inches per second. Or you could get two half-hour shows on there, or if you wanted four 15-minute shows or whatever combination. But it was still $10 an hour. So I thought, oh, boy, well, let me see what I could do. And I came up with $20 or $30, and I sent them a check. And I said, I'd like this program and that. One of them was the War of the Worlds, which I'd always heard about but never heard.
Wow.
And then I think there was probably a Jack Benny show in there, and maybe Fibber McGee, and I think Suspense. Anyway, I got a bunch of those shows, and I thought, this is incredible. I was back. I was thrust back into my days when I was laying on the floor in front of the Zenith radio listening to the shows themselves, which I thought were all gone into the ether someplace. And so I started telling a few friends about that, and they said, amazing, I'm going to do that too. And I said, wait a minute, let's work on this together. Don't buy the same shows I'm buying.
Right, yeah.
You buy shows that you like, and the next guy, you buy shows that are different, and then and I know nothing about the technicality of all of this. How the mechanics of making copies of, I have one tape recorder, you know. And one of the guys says, well, we can patch together two tape recorders and record one from one to the other on that. So three of us got together. And I tell this story in the book.
I know,
really.
Yeah, you do.
And
yeah.
And three people got together and started doing this, and we started building up. And we were pooling our funds and doing this. But, you know, if you're a stamp collector, you all of a sudden find yourself finding other stamp collectors.
Yeah,
how
sure.
do you do that? I don't know. Maybe you read a book about it or something. You see this or you see that. And so now we started trading tapes with other people in other cities and other states and other countries.
You met Captain Midnight, the Shadow, Fibber McGee, Agnes Moorehead, which was, you know, rare to talk to her. But you spoke to Jack Benny. Jack Benny is my favorite of yours, because I bought that collection and I listened to it and I thought, oh, my God, like, this was shortly, you know, before he passed. He passed 45 years ago, and you got him.
Yeah, I was very lucky. In fact, I got Jack real early in the game, and just a few months that I was on the air, he came to Chicago to appear at the old Mill Run Playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And I had done some work in the newspaper business, and I was doing, I knew the press people, and I called them up, and I said, I've got a little radio show, and I'd like to talk to Jack Benny. I'd like to interview him. And they said, well, fine. He's going to open such and Thursday night or something like that. Come on over, and you can see him in the afternoon. He's got a rehearsal set up and do that. So I went into the green room with my trusty tape recorder, and there I am, sitting across from Jack Benny, talking with him about his radio career. And he was very nice to me. I'm sure he may have had some of those questions before, but he was delighted in answering the questions. And he was thoughtful about the stuff, and he wasn't in a rush. He was very nice. And I could not believe that I was sitting there across from Jack Benny.
Well, yeah,
as time went on, I found myself sitting across from Edgar Bergen.
Right?
And
yeah.
So many other people from the radio days that I thought were, you know, I mean, I interviewed the Shadow, you know, Brett Morrison, and so many other people who were happy to recall their radio days, and they almost to a person said, they were the best days of a long career in show business, and many had come from the stage. Many of them came from the screen. Many of them went on to television. But they all said radio was the best time of all. They got decent money, eventually got decent money, and they didn't have to wear makeup. They didn't have to put on costumes. They didn't have to memorize lines, and they could just do it and have a great life.
That's amazing.
And they did.
That's amazing. Well, and you can see a lot of this in the book too. The book is filled with hundreds of photos as well, which is really great to document, because I haven't seen. I've seen a couple random ones, but man, it was just such a nice deep dive into know your journey and your career. And even though you've been retired, I always say you never retired, but 10 years ago, right, you still needed an outlet for your love for all this. You also created speakingofradio.com.
Yes, a website that initially started out as a place to archive the interviews, some 200 interviews that I did with all the radio people. And then not only were they radio stars, but they were supporting players. They were writers, directors, sound effects people, all kinds of people like that. And I started speakingofradio.com as a place for to archive the radio show. So someone goes there and say, I'm looking down there and I wanted to hear something about the guy who played the thin man on radio, Les Tremaine. Yeah. He was also on the First Nighter program. I'd like to see what he has to say about radio. And you can listen to a nice interview with Les Tremaine or so many other people from the radio days.
Now, where can folks find the book, Chuck?
Everything is at speakingofradio.com. The book is there, and that tells you how to get it. It's not sold in bookstores, but there is a retail outlet for the book, or you can get it online or by mail at speakingofradio.com. And
a great gift. Buy two. Buy three.
No, buy one and tell me you liked it. That's
okay,
all.
Okay. Now, this afternoon,
if you don't like it, tell me too. I'd like to know that.
I like that. All right, so on Sunday the 24th, you're going to be over at Framemakers doing a book signing.
That's right. That's the retail outlet for the book. And we had a real nice book signing in July when the book first came out, and they said, Chuck, come on back, do another one. And I'm more than happy to do that. And it's wonderful because it again underscores something that was very important to me during all my radio days, and that's to get to know the audience face-to-face.
Love that.
I love to see the audience face-to-face, and did that when I had a little store, did that when we showed movies on Saturday nights, and always took a great opportunity to do that. We broadcast from the Museum of Broadcast Communications for a long
time. Yes, you did.
Seeing visitors to the museum. So it's always nice to meet people and to say hello and to sign a book.
Absolutely. Well, congrats on the book. Congrats on the new book, my friend. Hope to see you
soon.
Thank
you so much, David.
And please send my Please send my best to Ellen as well.
Thank you very much to you and your family, too. Have
All
a good
right.
Thanksgiving.
Thank
by the
you.
Way.
You too. All right. Top stories are next here on 720 WGN.
Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose. For we were young and sure to have our way.